Chapter 8. Night falls on Jakku. With the darkness comes the cold. It leeches the heat out of the air, the sand, the stone. In the distance, black shapes rise, shadows deeper than the dark of the sky, plateaus and buttes like carbon anvils. It was Jazz's idea to head that direction. Not only would that get them out of the hellish heat of day, but she saw a flock of axe-beaked birds flying that way.
"They're headed towards something," Jazz said then. "Don't know what. Food, hopefully. A settlement, maybe. Anywhere is better than nowhere."
And so, once they pilfered the pod of all its limited goods, medkit, blaster, a handful of rations, they started walking, and walking, and walking some more. The sand is slippery beneath their feet. It's hard to find purchase, which works extra muscle groups. Every time the sand shifts or she steps on a stone slippery with scree, Nora's muscles tighten further. And by now her legs feel as stretched out as the control belt on an old speeder. Worse, Nora feels sick. The sun sucked everything out of her, siphoning her life force away drop by bloody drop. Now, with night, the chill has crept under her skin and settled in those empty spaces like an infection. But still, they trudge along. To where, she doesn't know. To what end, she cannot say. This was a mistake. Sloane is here. She knows that. She can feel that. Not like she has the Force, but like it's something in the air, in the dust. Maybe she's just trying to convince herself that this is it. This is where it all ends. But even if Sloane is here, then what? Nora is on a dead-end, bone-dust world. The erstwhile Grand Admiral could be anywhere, in any direction. And Nora could spend the rest of her days wandering the burning dunes, managing to find nothing or no one but her own foolhardy demise. Perhaps the one advantage is that this is such a dead place, someone like Sloane would stand out. Now if only they could find someone to whom that matters. Someone with eyes to have seen Sloane in the first place. She's about to say something to Jazz, but the bounty hunter now faces her with wide eyes. A hard finger mashes against Nora's lips. The Zabrak warns, "Shh." Nora watches as the shape of Jazz, her shadow, her silhouette, gestures toward her ear, a sign to listen. So Nora listens. The few sounds of the planet crawl into her ear. The whisper of wind across the dunes. The distant ululation of some animal. The drum pulsing of her own heartbeat behind it all. But then, their ears pick up something else. A faint shudder and hiss, like the sand moving. It's off to Nora's right. And then again, to her left. The sounds come simultaneously, and they're getting closer. The noises stop as fast as they start. Once again, Nora and Jazz are left with the wind, the faraway beasts, the pounding of blood in their own ears. Nora thinks and is about to say, "We need to keep moving." She doesn't get that chance. It happens quickly, from both sides. The sand erupts around them. The spray stings against Nora's cheek, and she staggers back, her eyes burning. She swipes at her face, blinking back tears, and something crashes into her, roaring. Her shoulders hit the ground half a second before her tailbone. The wind is knocked out of her, leaving Nora gasping. Her attacker is on top of her, and as her vision clears, she wishes it hadn't. The face leering down at her is far from human. Big black eyes, an insectile mandibular mouth, leathery flesh. No, not a face. A helmet. A mask.
Sashita!
Her foe barks at her, Words gurgled around a hissing ventilator. A fist slams into her middle. Anger blooms in its wake. Her adversary has his legs straddling her hips, but the ground beneath her shifts easily with the sand, and it takes little effort to wriggle free. She kicks out hard, pivoting her lower body as she does, and it gives her the opening she needs. Crab walking backward as her foe paws for something in the sand. A weapon? A blade! Square at the top, bent in the middle, like a machete. The metal is dark, maybe rusted, though it's hard to tell. He roars again and brings the blade down against her legs. But she scissors them apart, and the blade is buried in the sand with a coughing cuff sound. Nora stabs out with her foot. Her heel connects with his ventilator, and it starts squealing. Plumes of steam, white as a ghost, come free of his mask as he claws at his face. Now, as he dances backward, Nora can see Jazz. Jazz has her own enemy to deal with. The bounty hunter is still standing and lashing out with a high kick. Her foe is bigger, heavier, with an upper torso like a handful of grain sacks strung together with heavy gauge chain. She connects with the kick, but it doesn't seem to faze him. The big monster bellows an incomprehensible cry, then catches Jazz in a hard swing of his meaty fist. The bounty hunter topples, limp and lifeless. No! Nora gets her legs under her and springs forward. She connects with his middle, tackling him, expecting her weight and momentum to knock him off balance. But the thug isn't going anywhere. He's like a pylon driven deep into the mantle. He doesn't budge. Worse, he laughs. A gross, mechanized chuckle erupts from his own ventilator, and both of his hands marry together into one hellacious mega-fist. He slams his hands down into the center of Nora's back. She hits ground once more, air gone, pain radiating, blood in her mouth as her jaw snaps shut, teeth around the tip of her tongue. In the dark behind her eyes, she sees streaks of white. Someone grabs her ankle, turns her over. Her attacker is back. He adjusts something along the side of his head, and the jets of steam suddenly cease. The thick, sack-chested monster joins the other one. The two of them stand tall over her, talking, pointing.
Bawikoya!
The littler one says.
Yes!
The sack-chested monster says, agreeing, chuckling. Then the little one shakes and shudders. His chin lifts, and his head does this wobble on his neck. Nora's face is suddenly wet, as if misted. He hits the ground like a felled tree. Sackchest grunts in confusion. Then his head tilts hard to his shoulder. This time, Nora sees a faint red flash along with it, and the monstrous thug pivots on one heel and lands hard atop the other. We're saved, Nora thinks. Or rather, Nora hopes. She stays still, though, just in case. Jazz! She says in a loud whisper. Nearby, Jazz groans. Lights fill the air, bright and bold. Not from one direction, either, but from three. All on at the same time. And Nora has to cover her eyes, lest she go blind from it. Shadows emerge, light framing dark armor. The crackle of static as a voice broadcasts.
Don't move!
As the shadows close in, Nora hears the faint jostling of jointed armor and blaster rifles in gloved hands. It's a familiar sound that means one thing. Stormtroopers. The voice is quieter when it says,
"We found them. We found the rebels."
From nearby, Jazz curses under her breath. Nora, though, smiles around her bloodied mouth. Because stormtroopers means Empire, and Empire means Sloane.